The text assigned for today is the one just read to you. I would like to concentrate on the first two verses. Let me read them again to you in the King James this time. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In order to show the strength and the power of a legal religion to produce fear, the Jewish rabbis have a saying, "In this life, death will not permit a man to be happy." And it's true. From the moment of conception, he's headed towards death. Even while living life to the fullest, he's still under that dark shadow. And then after all his living, the final outcome, the goal of it all, if you will, is death. That's what he's headed towards. Now that's strange, isn't it? That after all the blood, sweat, and tears, all the toil, that the end of it should be death. There's something radically wrong with that. Certainly if a man works hard all his life, there should be a reward at the end. The good life should follow. But not for slaves, and this text talks about slaves. For slaves, for people in bondage, it's simply one dreary day after the other. It's struggling and striving under the heaviest of burdens with the cruelest of taskmasters and always being reminded, straighten up or die. For these slaves, it means being without the hope of ever gaining freedom. It's living with the sure knowledge that no one is strong enough, no doctor skilled enough to deliver them from the clutches of this terrifying foe. He's the ruler everywhere. He's everyone's master. Sooner or later, he comes to collect his due, to exact it, and he is precise in the count. He never misses anyone. Nobody escapes, even the best of them. Now talk about dominion. The whole universe is a victim. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Not even one tiny ray of light pierces that thick, dark cloud. Any fool can plainly see that this world is dying and that death reigns everywhere. The whole creation is coming apart at the seams, wearing down, running out, heading finally and inevitably toward that one climactic moment when fire will rain down from heaven and consume everything. And we all know why. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And the verdict is a just one. Sin and death go hand in hand. They're brothers. Sooner or later, we're going to get it. Oh, it's what we deserve, and somehow we know it. And obviously, not one of us or all of us together is strong enough to release the entire universe from the jaws of death. What we really need is a champion, some strong man who will step forth, who will volunteer to fight, to slay this taunting Goliath. Somewhere among those teeming millions, all of those billions of people, there must be one brave warrior to whom men can look, who can break this giant's grip on us. Someone who won't count the cost or consider the risk. Now, to find someone like that among selfish, self-seeking, self-saving people is hopeless. But this text describes just such a one who became one of us, who took on our nature, who became flesh and blood for just that purpose, to do for us what we couldn't hope possibly to do for ourselves. And he did not spare anything. He did not count the cost. He certainly didn't spare himself. That through death, the text says, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For this purpose, Paul says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, and certainly death is included in that. He became flesh and blood, our brother. Only a kinsman, you know, could redeem the brother who had sold himself into slavery. The pure, the holy, the innocent Son of God rubbed shoulders with filthy, polluted, degenerate sons of men as one of them. How in all the world could he be a brother to them? How could he live continuously in their world and not be contaminated? But really, how could he who is life exist in the land of death and not have that life extinguished? What a dangerous mission to leave the safety of the highway above and to descend to the ditch to help his fallen neighbor, to deliver him from the hand of death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, through death, to offer up himself for the sins of the people in their place, that death should strike the innocent lamb instead of the guilty, is unfathomable. That the innocent Son of God should bear the punishment, death, so that guilty sons of men could be set free, simply strains our imagination to do justice to it. But the writer to the Hebrews in this text is looking directly at the cross and in a sense saying, the Lord has brought us out of the bondage to Pharaoh, who would not let us go, but the Lord has brought us out with stretched out hands, so that now we are free to worship him in the wilderness and to serve him without fear all the days of our lives, instead of quailing in fear under Pharaoh and his accusing people. Standing right there at the cross and gazing directly at it, Paul exults, Christ has abolished death, and now he has ascended on high. He has led captivity captive, the air, and as those leering, peering demons grasped and grabbed at this mighty warrior, he proclaimed their defeat and his victory. He's the conqueror. Now the tables are turned. Now they cringe in fear and flee from him. Say among the heathen, the psalmist says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth from the tree. He's the conqueror. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? That is why God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of things under the earth, that text in Philippians says. Everything or everyone under the earth. And that's why he went there. The devils in hell by force and coercion must confess it too, that he is Lord. The devil has been disarmed. Death has been abolished. Christ is triumphant. Life now rules and reigns. In Revelation, St. John the Divine is told by Christ, don't be afraid, fear not, John. I have the keys of death and hell. The devil doesn't reign anywhere anymore, not even there. Paul says, you who were dead in sins and in your uncircumcised bodies, he has made alive with him. When he forgave us all our sins, wiped out the law's demands that were against us, and took them out of the way by nailing them to the cross. He spoiled principalities and powers, stripped rulers and powers of their armor, and made a public show of them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. So then now we can breathe easier. The crushing load has been lifted. Another has taken everything on himself. Our brother has done all the work, all the blood, sweat, and tears, and at the end of it all, death for him. And we receive the reward, the good life. Incredible. But that's the truth. And now, contrary to the rabbis, death, that death permits a man to be happy, even in this life. The last enemy has been dealt with once and for all. The offering to end all offerings has been made. We're forever free. So death no longer has dominion. Another is its Lord, and we in him. We do not need to fear death any longer. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We have eternal life now. And when we breathe our last, then we will be received by him into that glorious life to be forever with him in the place which he himself has prepared. So, with the poet, sing your hosannas and raise your glad voice. Proclaim the blessed tidings that all may rejoice. Lord, honor and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who sitteth in glory and ever shall reign. Amen.